Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Jason Anderson, and he is the Farm Bill Biologist. Good morning to you, Jason.
Good morning, LaVon.
Jason, you're kind of new on the job, but hey, you just got to jump right in, and you are doing some workshops coming up that I think could be very useful to people. So let's give the dates and times first and places, first of all, and then we'll go back and do that again at the end.
Okay, so there's going to be three different workshops, one for each of one of my counties, for Cass, Audubon, and Shelby County. So on February 2nd, on Tuesday, February 2nd, it's going to be from 1:30 to 3 in, well, it's just north of Exira at the Conservation Club. It's kind of out, it's about 3 miles north of Exira on Highway 71.
There's a little sign there. That
there is
points,
a sign. Yeah. The building is kind of hidden.
Right.
So you have to see the sign. Yeah, absolutely. There's no food at that one. There's going to be cookies and coffee. That's the bait for that one. And then on Wednesday, February 3rd, the next day, there's going to be one in Atlantic from 11:30 to 1. And that's going to be at the Pizza Ranch meeting room. So that is a great excuse to come and have Pizza Ranch for lunch, if you would like, and listen to a talk. And then on Thursday, February 4th, same time, 11:30 a.m. to 1, is going to be in Harlan at the Pizza Ranch up there in their meeting room.
You're just appealing to stomachs, but that's okay, because a lot of us operate on that. And it's, you know, if people have other kinds of meetings going on, it's a very practical kind of thing to do. So I think you're doing good thinking here.
I guess I should specifically say that we're not providing pizza, though. Yeah, we're giving you the opportunity to have lunch, but we're not providing it.
All right, good point,
Jason. I don't want
anybody
to show up and be disappointed.
Well, yeah, and thinking you're going to pay the bill. Yeah, good point there, Jason, good point. So, what are we going to learn? What's the topic?
So the whole thing is about the need for habitat in Iowa's agricultural landscape. There's, you know, our counties are covered, they're dominated by farm ground, and that has come at a cost to wildlife habitat. And so in some of these areas where there's a lot of places where we can fit habitat in, where agriculture and habitat can coexist. And so that's what the talk will be about, is how to maximize our wildlife habitat potential.
Well, so how much space do you think? I'm just thinking, I live out in the country. I'm not on a farm, but I live out in the country. And I see ditches. I see along creeks and so on where, you know, you can't farm up to this. How much land do you need if you wanted to provide some habitat? Does it need to be acres and acres?
It does not need to be acres and acres. I would always say that any habitat is good.
Okay.
Any habitat is better than none. How big it is directly related to how much benefit it has. So larger is always better, for a lot of reasons that we don't have to necessarily get into now. But yes, larger is better, but small is better than nothing. In my backyard, I have about 100 square feet of basically, it's pollinator habitat. It's seeded to natives, and it functions wonderfully for butterflies and bees. So it doesn't have to be big.
Okay, I'm really glad you mentioned pollinators. Actually, we're having a garden seminar coming up in March, and one of our keynote speakers is about pollinators because there's so much to learn there. But I'm glad you mentioned it because we're not just talking about pheasants, although you work with pheasants forever,
right, yeah.
Or other large kinds of animals. And we're talking about birds and pollinators. I mean,
absolutely.
All that's, we need habitat for all of them.
Yes. Yeah. So I am a Pheasants Forever employee. And so we do, the organization does care about pheasants. That is absolutely true. But we care about all species. So pheasants are an umbrella species, they call it. And that is what gets people interested usually in providing habitat. But that habitat it provides for a whole suite of species, including, you know, butterflies, bees, beetles, all kinds of insects, and on up to birds and even larger animals.
Mm-hmm. So we need to think in that broad scope when we think about habitat. Now, as you do this program, what are you going to include? How can we improve our habitat?
Well, it's all very situational, of course.
Right.
It depends on what you have, what you have available, what the tools are. What's there. But I mean, as a general rule, I would say the more diverse, the better. That's always a good rule to say. If you're thinking just in general terms, how can I make wildlife habitat better? Just add diversity, add native species and diverse ones.
So you'll be talking about, for instance, native grasses, maybe native flowers, shrubs.
Yep. Yes. All that. So the talk is going to focus more on native grasslands. And so that means a mix of native grasses and wildflowers, because that was what our area was dominated by. Uh-huh. So that is what is most lacking, I would say, as far as our species go.
Okay, good point, Jason, when you said that's the way our area was, mm-hmm. you know, originally. Can you imagine what it was like to come to this land before we started farming all of the available farmland?
Anytime I look at a map, like a pre-settlement land cover right. map and a post-settlement, like what it is now, it just blows my mind at how much the landscape has changed. And I've been out in large prairies where it's just prairie as far as you can see. So, you know, it's go over hill or whatever, and it feels like you're just out there in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing to like see that kind of an expanse and think about that's what it used to look right. like.
And I know you're not saying that we are going to go back to that we have to go back to it, but there are possibilities out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I am a firm believer that agriculture and wildlife habitat can coexist. And in a lot of cases, landowners can take advantage of a lot of things. And well, I mean, I don't want to say it's all about money, but they can be more profitable if adopt certain practices like that.
Okay.
But that's some
of the bottom line,
about.
Pretty much. I mean, profit is a pretty important in terms of bottom line if you're going to keep in business. Now, you are going to, I think, mention that there are some programs available that can help provide some of that economic base.
There is.
It'll come to you.
Yeah, it'll probably come to me. Qualified. For people that are qualified. Yeah, geez, that was terrible. So for qualified individuals, yes, they can have programs that are available either through the USDA, like CRP, for example, is a huge one for providing mm-hmm. habitat. And there's mm-hmm. also programs through the state of Iowa also.
Well, that's good to know, though, that there are some additional, because we may be thinking too narrowly when we think, well, I'm not going to qualify for a CRP, but there are some other options.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, USDA, the Iowa DNR has a lot of programs. There are a lot of nonprofit organizations, like Trees Forever, for example, that have, I mean, they're smaller scale,
right?
But they still have financial assistance and also technical advice if you want to do some kind of projects on your ground.
Does DOT have any programs?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay, because I was thinking they had some, at least, information, but that's...
They definitely have information, and I don't know if they help private landowners, but I know they have initiatives that do native seedings on roadsides.
Okay, so you'll be kind of including all of this in your presentations, is mm-hmm. that correct? All of these resources that people might be able to get to.
Yeah, it's not going to be very heavy on the programmatic stuff. I'm just going to kind of give some options for people, and then if they want more information, they can certainly come and talk to me, and I'll set them up with the correct person that they need to speak with.
And saying that, then are you going to give specific recommendations for kinds of grasslands and plants?
I don't think I'm going to try to stay out of the weeds as far as it goes as much as possible, because I think it's going to be a kind of a diverse group of people that'll come. So everybody's going to have different situations. So I'm going to try to keep out of the nuts and bolts.
Okay. But people can certainly ask you questions.
Absolutely. I love talking to people. Yeah, for sure.
And I think we might have mentioned this the last time we visited with you, but if there are groups who want you to come and talk just to their group, you're available to do that too,
yep,
correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So I think that's a good opportunity for some folks that might not be able to come to one of these workshops that are coming right up. So I think it's pretty exciting, the work that you're doing, because, well, I love birds and I love wildlife, and, you know. So we have to have that habitat and, like you say, all the pollinators. Sometimes we forget those pollinators. Mm-hmm. We think bees, butterflies, but there's a whole bunch more out there that we could help with, even a small space, as you said, your backyard.
Yep.
So lots that we can help do that. Okay, let's remind people of times and places.
So Tuesday, February 2nd at the Ottawa County Conservation Club, just 3 miles north of Exira, and that's at 1:30 p.m. And then also Wednesday, February 3rd in Atlantic at the Pizza Ranch, and that's at 11:30 a.m. And then also on Thursday, February 4th, in Harlan at the Pizza Ranch at also 11:30.
All right. Thank you very much, Jason Anderson, for visiting with us.
Thanks, LaVon.
And until next time, here's a thought from John Murray. In every walk with nature, one receives far more than he seeks.